Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the other one,
Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, we had the set design guy come in earlier today, and he guided me through the murky waters and treacherous terrain. That was awkward.
Yep.
Of set design and art departments, and he was very, you know, he just held my hand as I asked so many stupid questions. And he made me feel good about it. And he was really enthusiastic and excited.
Yep, so that's... And it brought a massive smile to your face. You haven't stopped smiling all afternoon, really.
Well, I've been, you know, I've been very conscious that the Wrestle Ramble has looked awful for about 2 months now. And, 2 to 3 months.
And the new set was a Patreon goal way back when that we passed some time ago.
But we couldn't because, like, the old studio's future was up in the air. So, yes, it's nice to finally scratch this itch. And he said, if all goes to plan, he'll put it up next Friday, which means it'll be debuted the day after Evolution, which is Monday the 29th, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't be here.
I will not be here, and neither will El Fakador.
Yes. A hilarious scheduling clash that Fakador might have only just let us know about.
I let you know about mine. I've
not got beef with you. It's your 15th honeymoon or whatever it is. You had this booked in ages ago.
It's my 1 year wedding anniversary.
Exactly. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And you told me about it ages ago. And I'm like, that's fine. Because that's why we got El Fakador.
And also,
Fill in for Luke.
And also, when I booked this in, there was no Evolution at that point.
Yes, that's another good point. So anyway, Fakador is also away that day. He's in another country, technically. Scotland, pretty close.
Well, it's another country.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it feels like we're all same landmass.
We're all together.
Same landmass. And, you know, not fully independent.
No. And they probably, well, it's highly unlikely they ever will be unless they get the vote again.
So, yes. And this just so happens to come 5 days after the next member of the WrestleTalk team becomes full-time with us, Andy Datson of the website.
And he may make his on-screen debut.
His face lit up because he came to visit the other day and I said this might happen, like, oh god, I haven't got anyone to do the Wrestle Ramble review of Evolution with. Usually it wouldn't matter because we don't do Wrestle Rambles on Monday.
Exactly. It would have been fine when before bloody Evolution happens.
Everyone's talking about Crown Jewel and whether this should happen. No one cares about us.
No one cares about the little people.
Oh, what about the poor guy just trying to hustle his way through YouTube?
So, hustle being the optimum word.
Yeah, and I say this, and Andy's little head just peeks around my computer screen with this, like, puppy-like grin on his face. I know he's listening. And he was just, you know, just a look that said, please.
Oh, please, sir. Oh, please, sir. I'd love to be on the old Wrestle Ramble with you. Doing the old talk about the programme.
So he's going to have, you know, it's going to have to be him.
Yeah.
So I'm just prepping everyone now for an even lower dipping quality of conversation than what you're already accustomed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
because, you know, I know Andy, but I don't know if I can talk in front of a talking in front of a camera with someone is very different to having a normal chat.
Exactly. Yeah. What if he gets like stage fright?
What if I get stage fright?
Well, you're never going to get stage fright, are you?
I got it. First time me and Fakador did one.
Oh, yeah?
We had to stop several times because I just couldn't speak.
Wow.
Like thoughts just wouldn't form. Mm. Completely caught me by surprise. I was so used to you.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. It was kind of like that.
Well, would you like a Rusev hey?
Yes, please.
This comes from Aaron Black. So about 5 years ago, there was a live event in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. The Shield came through the crowd to do a run-in. Unfortunately, I don't remember who on, but I unwittingly touched Roman Reigns' arm. Maybe a little too snug. But at the end of the show, I saw him and wanted to apologize. So I stupidly walked over and tried to apologize. When I walked over, the entire Shield surrounded me and said, "No harm, no foul. You can believe that." Unfortunately, my phone with the pictures got stolen. I swear on my life it happened.
That's pretty cool.
Mm. Well, if it happened, obviously, you know, picture it didn't happen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Yeah. But that story of them just, maybe that was a routine they had.
Absolutely,
just
yeah.
Surround fans who are already a little bit nervous.
Mm. They can see him approaching, be like, "We got one, boy."
It's like they're hazing, the Shield hazing. Imagine touching Roman's arm. But it's really oily.
I was going to say, but it's really wet.
Mm.
Yeah. And you're not sure what it's wet from, but it's probably really wet.
Yeah. Wet from sweat.
Hair.
Wet from just these, permanently wet hair.
Mm, could be anything, man. We'll do another quick Rusev hey here from Liam Drake from Middlesbrough. All right, lads. A mate and I went to Philadelphia for the Royal Rumble earlier this year.
Oh, cool.
We arrived in the city on the Saturday and were to leave early Wednesday morning to fly over to Las Vegas, so the WWE were in town the whole time we were. We joked about the idea of potentially seeing some of the roster out in town after the Rumble, but that didn't come to fruition. Perhaps it's true that the supposed drinking culture of 15 to 20 years ago really has died, or maybe we were just in the wrong bars at the wrong time. Instead of buying tickets to Raw, we decided to just drink around the bars in the city and watch it on the screens. Now, I'm a tad sketchy on the time, but it was approximately 3 in the morning as we were stumbling back to our hotel room when I noticed the unmistakable figure of Corey Graves stood in the distance of the direction we were walking. We continued to stagger on towards him. It became clear that he was much shorter in person than I'd anticipated.
Huh.
He was stood on the street corner with Renee Young. Now, as I recall, this is my interpretation of events, and Corey's interpretation of events may probably be slightly skewed. As we were perhaps 1 foot away from each other, I simply glanced over and, without breaking stride, fired a nod of acknowledgement towards him. No words exchanged. In the moment, it was a sign of respect. You know that I know you. You know that I know who you are, and we're cool about that.
Hmm.
What he probably saw was two leathered northern British lads stumbling down the street at 3 in the morning, had eyeballed us from some distance and wanted nothing to do with us in the slightest. Now, what I hadn't realised was that my mate hadn't noticed Corey and Renee until we were approximately touching distance of them.
I'm still laughing at the use of leathered.
As once had I perfectly executed my cool nod of acknowledgement and taken literally one step past the couple, my mate belted out, "Ew, that bird looked a lot like effing Renee Young, that."
Oh, dear.
He then started to rub her neck and realised it was Renee Young. He then too noticed Corey Graves with her.
Oh, my God.
We carried on in our direction as he came up with various plans and schemes of we could try to get to the hotel bar the next day so we can have a pint with Kevin Owens and asking important questions such as, do I think Kane would chokeslam him through a table if I asked? Cheers, lads. That's from Liam in Middlesbrough.
Top work. I also like the image of a Corey Graves in the distance and how you would detect him just from his shape, which is a long, slender man with like a little whip of hair at
with
the top.
With a little quiff.
A little ice gem at the top.
Well, that's all for our Rusev Hayes. In the opening part of this, we have got a Agony Arts request in the outro of this podcast.
May I also tease Oliver's first ever experience as an adult on a bicycle?
Well, I mean, if that doesn't make you stick around for the outro, I don't know what will. But I mean, it's nice to have little sort of fun and japes here. We're going to have fun and japes in the
outro.
Oh,
I forgot about the subject of this show.
But we're going to get into some quite... Oh, I mean, this is not a fun episode, I'll be honest with you. Here's the show.
Awkward gear shift into the topic. I feel I'm getting shades of when Hulk Hogan returned to WWE.
Yeah.
And we did that episode of like, should this have happened?
Mm.
And we had to be grown-ups mm-hmm. and talk about stuff that transcends wrestling into larger topics of morality. These are dangerous waters, and as Luke so very well said on last Friday's news episode, be friendly in the comments. We're trying to figure this out ourselves. I think that's like anyone who says this is a clear decision. It's like it's a very murky argument. I'm not certainly gonna come to a decision because I'm very indecisive about everything.
Yes.
Apart from what I have for breakfast.
What did you have for breakfast?
Well, always eggs and lentils these days. It's a great start to the day.
Yeah, this really is like it's a hot button issue. It's a triggering issue, I would certainly say as well. I think that as soon as you mention some of these words, some of these, it's almost like
words like what, Luke?
Well, words like Khashoggi, disappearance, allegedly, you know, things like that. It's almost like when El Fakador made a patriarchy joke yesterday, and there were a few people who took issue with it.
Mm.
So. Yeah, as we said last week, be friendly in the comments. We're trying to work this out ourselves. Just be respectful to each other. Be respectful for other people's opinions. Don't just do what YouTube does and just go, no, horrible awfulness and type way. This also, because we've been accused of this, not taking away anyone's freedom of speech. No. That's why the comment section is there. If we were taking away freedom of speech, we'd have closed off the comments.
Mm. So yes, let's just all be confused together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anyone who says they know what's what is... You know, that's a warning sign to me.
Yes.
If anyone's, I know exactly what's happening and what to do here, I'm like, all right then, big boy.
You tell me what's going on then.
So, as a brief recap to this real life story.
Yes.
You know names and dates better than I do.
Yes, this was a story that we covered last week, last Friday on the WrestleTalk News. And it's sort of been in the news peppered throughout the week as well. So this is a real life event, you know, that's affected into our silly little world of professional wrestling. On October 2nd, a Washington Post journalist who is of Saudi Arabian descent, he was born there, but he is a US citizen. At least he works in the US, works for the Washington Post. He went missing. He went to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey on October 2nd. He went there because he was going to get marriage documents so he could marry his fiance. Now, the story that the Washington Post released that was based on his fiance's testimony, or like what she told them and what his friends have told them, he had almost thought, I'm not leaving this place. And so he gave her his phone, which was synced to his Apple Watch, so he could record what was going on and just in case anything untoward had happened. Story is because he's been very vocally critical against the Crown Prince and the Saudi regime, that he'd been offered high-profile roles within the government, almost in exchange for them not hurting him or doing anything like that. And he had told friends that he was almost afraid to return back to Saudi Arabia because he didn't believe that they wouldn't hurt him. And he went into the consulate, hasn't been seen since. Turkey officials have released a video of him going into the consulate, but say there is no video of him going out. And they've also said that they have seen the and heard the footage and audio of him being interrogated, tortured, and murdered, and dismembered. And that is why we've not seen him in, you know, 2 weeks now. And in fact, there was someone sent a tweet earlier. There was a U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has heard the alleged audio recordings of the Washington Post Jamal Khashoggi's murder. So there are a lot of people have said, like, well, if there is these audio and video things, why don't they release them? Turns out people have claimed that they have heard them as well. But again, that's claims. We haven't heard them, so we don't know if they do exist or not. So that is essentially the story. Since then, a lot of businesses have cut their ties with Saudi Arabia, including Richard Branson and Virgin. And there was meant to be sort of like a big business expo thing there soon. And a lot of companies that were going to that have pulled out because they don't want to be associated with it in case there's been some negative press written about them. Which has happened to WWE because they have a very high profile relationship with them in this 10-year deal that you actually know more about than I do because you were the one who was doing those news stories.
Well, yeah, a little bit. It's just initially the reports were that WWE were getting in the realms of $45 million per show in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, big number.
It's a 10-year deal, and they would do two shows a year there. So, you know, that's like $1 billion. That's crazy over that amount of time. And, of course, the first one was the Greatest Royal Rumble in April. And that was controversial all by itself, because that show, because of cultural customs in Saudi Arabia, won't let women perform in sports, essentially, especially if they're scantily clad, like the wrestlers. Men wrestlers are as well. You know, I'm all for equal rights scantily cladness.
Mm-hmm.
And this rubbed, understandably, a lot of people the wrong way, myself included, because, mm-hmm. you know, you should get women on the show. WWE's defense at the time was, well, you know, you start off like this, and you slowly introduce
change.
So, you know, you put on female matches maybe in 2 years' time, and you would have been a part of this narrative that over time you have a progressive slant to things. And that's MBS, which is Mohammed bin Salman, who is the Saudi crown prince. That's his vision, apparently. I think it's Hindsight 2030, it's called.
Vision which is 2030.
Vision 2030.
Hindsight 2030.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there should be. There will be. There might be some hindsight in a decade's time.
Mm.
And it's the idea that by 2030, the year 2030, Saudi Arabia will have a society that's come around to more Western styles of living. So, like, equality. They make a big thing that women can drive now,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's
they couldn't do previously.
Yeah, they couldn't do previously. So that type, that's like, you know, quite a noble thing. You want to get there, but you understand societal change never happens overnight. This is a long game thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, from WWE's approach, I would go, okay, it's for the money, whatever. But because it's in tandem with them promoting their women's equality, and, you know, we've got Ronda Rousey, it's the women's movement, you just battered over the head every episode of WWE programming, women's evolution, and now they're doing the Evolution pay-per-view, which is the all-women's thing, and then 5 days after that, you're going to get this Crown Jewel show, which also doesn't have female performers on. And I feel like a lot of people just got used to that now. WWE's very good of not having scandals stick to it, because it's such a weird thing anyway. Like, the mainstream press looks at professional wrestling as a bit of an oddity, and therefore it behaves by different rules. And that's kind of what's happened here. And we, you know, we do just go along with it most of the time. We say that, you know, WWE's terrible, but we tune into Raw and SmackDown every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're part of the problem too.
Yes.
But then it's had this addition of the Khashoggi murder.
The Khashoggi murder.
Mm-hmm. My apologies. And that's WWE, like, their sort of stance on this, and JBL and Randy Orton have done statements saying, well, you know, you got to go there and it'll create change. They're at the forefront of change. And that's kind of like, well, that's the argument for the women's progressive stuff. We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about the fact that the government allegedly have murdered a journalist. And, you know, to point out, countries that Western countries work with, murdering journalists is pretty widespread and nothing new,
mm-hmm.
But this one has flared up.
Yeah, and it's and that's kind of the thing with the JBL and Randy Orton comments, is that, like, the JBL one in particular was very much like a, you know, what do you think of WWE doing this deal with a country that is alleged to have murdered a journalist? And JBL quickly dodged that question and answered a different question, but still made it sound like he was answering the original question. And Randy Orton's one was the exact same thing, as you said, like, they were answering different points. But WWE have just said, we are monitoring the situation. And the Dave Meltzer said on the Wrestling Observer Radio that the only way this show is going to get cancelled is if the State Department say, you cannot go, or the President of the United States, Donald Trump, says, you cannot go. And I saw a report this morning that apparently Donald Trump has put blocks in place for information from Turkey to get released in regards to the Khashoggi murder, because he himself has ties to the Saudi Arabian government and their regime, because they help him buy some of his property and his real estate from his previous career before he was the president. So, but again, that's all, you know, alleged. That's what was reported today. So it looks like this show is 100% going to happen. WWE were promoting it on Raw and SmackDown, but not mentioning where it was. They were just saying it's Crown Jewel, it's airing on the WWE network. And they've got some, you know, they've got two massive matches that they're promoting on there, which is the Triple Threat for the Universal Championship and Shawn Michaels' first match in 8.5 years. And it's a much smaller crew going this time. Dave Meltzer wrote in the Observer that only 19 wrestlers are actually going over this time round, because the majority of the show is going to be built around the World Cup tournament.
So it is a tournament.
It is a tournament.
To determine the best
in the world. It's a one-night tournament and those three matches. So actually only 19 people are going.
But they are all big time. You've got John Cena in there, Kurt Angle.
Rey Mysterio. The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Jeff Hardy qualify.
Did he?
Yeah, so
yeah, he did.
I can't remember. I wasn't really paying attention. The Miz.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was part
the
of
Miz
it.
The Miz did.
He had his 30-second match with Rusev.
So it's did you see today on Wrestling Observer Radio that they said, actually, the amount of money, profit from this show, is only $2 to $3 million.
I think because they've got such a high expenditure this time round as opposed to they did last time.
Because Brock Lesnar is training for an MMA comeback. Mm. And he has effectively had to halt that MMA comeback to go into wrestling mode. Brock does not do stuff cheaply anyway. He's got an even bigger payday on the horizon for UFC. And he says, well, this one's even more money. I'm going to do this one.
And it's a seven-figure sum, was the report. That's a massive amount of money. And
I think definitely more than a million.
Oh, 100% more, yeah.
Because like from the UFC fight, he'll make 5-6 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to imagine it's like around the 4-5 mark.
And you've got
plucking that figure out speculation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you've got to wonder how much Michaels is making for this, considering that for the last 8.5 years, every time a money offer has been put on the table for him to have a comeback match, a WrestleMania match, a Royal Rumble match, they've been trying to have him have a match in WWE since his retirement in 2010, and he has always said no. So there has got to be a very, very large number that made him then go, all right then.
Yeah, this isn't like I'm doing it for my kids. Like Goldberg, he was like, my son never saw me wrestle and I want to see him. And I fully believe that because Goldberg loves his son.
About genuinely. When he dabbed.
Yeah, that one time. That was the only time Goldberg has not loved his own son. But the rest of the time, he will go back to wrestling and WWE, something that he's spoken out against, just for that. But Shawn Michaels, you know, he's never said, I'm going back to help elevate younger talent, which we, you know, we're seems to be a part of his character. Mm-hmm. He's going back to wrestle The Undertaker and Kane. And he's not said that he wants to come back for kids or anything, or for his family to see him wrestle, or for the fans. So it really, like, but like in a larger moral question, and that's where it does tie into the larger thing of WWE in Saudi Arabia. And I'm not saying yes or no to anything. I'm just saying if the question is posed to you, this much money, you know, X amount of money,
mm-hmm.
when do you start to go, well, you know, maybe yeah. I should go to Saudi Arabia?
How much money is, where do you throw morals out of the window? Mm. It's like, have you ever read the Richard Matheson story, The Box? They made it turned into a film with Cameron Diaz, I think.
Which was directed by Richard Kelly.
That's right, it
Donnie
was Richard
Darko
Kelly, yeah.
Thing, who just has dropped off the face of the planet because he kept making bad movies after that one good one.
Well, some people defend Southland Tales.
And I'm one of them.
You're one
That's
of
half
them.
A good movie.
It is. 50% of that movie is interesting.
Featuring The Rock, so it's not, you know, it's still wrestling this orientated.
Yeah, and Sean William Scott. And Kevin Smith, oddly. But it's... sorry, what was the point I was making? Yeah, like, so the box, if you haven't read the Richard Matheson story, the box is essentially a couple gets sent a box in the mail. And the box essentially says, like, a salesman comes around and he says that this button, if you press this button, someone not connected to you, someone you don't know, is going to die. But you will get a massive amount of money for it. So really, it's a quandary of just like, well, I mean, I don't know this person. I don't know the person that is going to be killed. So does that really affect me? Because I'm in a lot of money issues at the moment. I get a lot of money from this. Of course, I don't want to spoil the story. The twist in the tale is that really, him and his wife don't really know each other. And so when he pushes the button, I think it's she pushes the button. He murders the partner.
Well, like, to spoil the story, but spoils the story.
Well, yeah, it came out 50 years ago. Like, what do you want? Like, you know. But anyway, so it's.
I don't think I'd press the button.
No, I don't think I would press the button.
I wouldn't do it
either.
To kill someone. Yes. And that's, you know, we're not saying that. We're just saying that it's an interesting thought experiment.
Exactly, yeah. But to go back to the WWE side of things and the topic we had at hand, should they cancel the show, which we can't really give a definitive answer on whether they should or should not. I personally believe, this is, you know, very much my thoughts on this, that as a company, I would almost want to get myself away from this situation just until this sort of thing dies down, because eventually this sort of thing does die down. Give it a week, people won't be talking about Jamal Khashoggi. Once the story has come out and things have happened, things have moved forward, then everything will just go back to the norm. Something else will happen. And
24-hour news cycle.
Exactly. People will focus their attention over onto something else. In fact, like, the Jamal Khashoggi stuff already seems to be falling out of that 24-hour news cycle because other things are coming into it.
When Sam Harris makes a podcast on it, it's already gone. I always listen to those too late.
So it's a case of, like, do you want to just separate yourself away from this until it all blows over, and then you can re-pick that back up again and just deal with the other controversies of, like, women aren't allowed to be on the show and things like that.
It's not like once this goes away, it's like, oh, and it's all fine. It's there's still this huge hypocrisy in that women aren't allowed to perform.
Yeah, yeah. And I take a greater issue with the evolution, whichever one you go with, pay-per-view, because that really does now feel like it was so. It's such a hypocritical move.
It undermines everything
It undermines absolutely. That show literally exists because they were going to do Crown Jewel, and because they didn't want the same backlash they got for Greatest Royal Rumble. Well, we'll just announce this show first. And that makes it sound like we wanted to do this thing first, and then we'll announce Crown Jewel afterwards. Mm. It's a really, like, low move, but really quite a smart move
I don't think it is. I think it's...
Well, it is because,
I think it underestimates your audience.
Oh, no, it completely does. Completely. I would argue that the women not being allowed onto the Crown Jewel show seems so much lessened because of the Evolution pay-per-view, like, 5 days before it. Like, there wasn't as much of it's a shame that women can't wrestle on that show that there was for the Greatest Royal Rumble. And maybe WWE would have got away with it if it hadn't been for that pesky journalist and this issue that's happened that's kind of overshadowed everything. Me, personally, I would say that WWE should probably distance themselves from it until it all blows over, but that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think, to kind of take morality out of it, because that's just too complicated and we'll get too many people angry. Mm-hmm. Just from a business sense, just from just like how you should go about ethics in as a company, you need to change what you're getting out of the relationship other than money. So with the whole women's stuff, like, say, look, we've got an agreement that in 2 years' time, we can have the first women's match here. Meanwhile, every cent of profit we make is going to go to women's charities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, then you're like, okay, well, it's PR, but, you know, sometimes the ends justify the means.
Yes.
But yeah, just from a business mindset and the potential PR, I think this is very ill-advised to carry on going to Crown Jewel.
But also, like, from a talent perspective, the reports are there are a lot of talent who are very upset.
We haven't even talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, talent are really upset by them going to this show. Obviously, Randy Orton's not one of them, but, I mean, he might be, and he's just towing the company line and being told what he has been told to... He's just saying what he's been told to say. But there have been reports that many, many people within the company are very upset that they're still going to this show with all of this controversy surrounding it. And what you're doing there is you're just dampening morale, because the company is essentially saying, like, well, your opinion doesn't matter. Like, what matters is my back pocket. What it matters is my investors making their money and getting their money. The investors' call, which I think happens today, is going to be a very interesting one.
I mean, there's a very slim possibility that this will, because we're recording this on Friday, this will go up on Saturday, and Crown Jewel could have been cancelled. And they announced that, or they're moving it to England because Crown Jewel, we've got a crown.
We've got crown jewels.
We've got crowns.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't mind that. I think that'd be a good, that'd be great if we got the crown jewel.
Yes.
But, there's just so many murky bits that I would say.
Yeah, and it kind of brings a bit of a downer on things. Mm. Yeah. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sure. If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Crap gimmick is a section we do here every single Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble Awkward Gear Change, where you, the Swaff Nation, send in to us your crap gimmick submissions for crap gimmick wrestling, and we decide which ones we're going to sign. And then trading cards get made up for them by our awesome art man, Lewis Tillett, which you can follow on Instagram at Lewis Tillett Art. We've had some amazing ones there thus far. If you want to send in your submission, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. That is luke@wrestletalk.com, and I will read them out. We've got a massive backlog, almost 250 at the moment. We're currently in the middle of July. That's how far back we are with these. And if you're wondering,
lay it on me.
And if you're wondering, what's a crap gimmick? Well, we like to describe it as WWF's 90s mentality of you are a wrestler and a blank, or it could be something much more sort of obscure, tangential, and we really like those ones as
abstract.
Well.
Abstract.
Abstract. Great
stupid.
Words.
Just stupid. Plain up stupid.
Absolutely. What we don't want is people that just lose all the time, because there's not a lot of mileage in that. So, coming up first, we have got from Nikki the Postie, you might recognise from the Wrestle Ramble podcast. She emails in some poems every now and again to Poetry Corner.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yes. Today I'm pitching the delusional comedy heel tag team made up of Vacant and Mystery Man. Mm. They both wear black morph suits. Vacant is completely black and Mystery Man is the same but has a giant question mark on his chest. Mystery Man's finisher is the drapey diamond cutter off the top rope called the cliffhanger, and Vacant's finisher is a double foot stomp off the top rope called the stand-in. Vacant believes he
is... That's really good. That's nice. Those are perfect moves for these characters.
Vacant believes he's taking on the famous outfit and mask worn by the great Vacants of the past, similar to Tiger Mask or Sin Cara. Although these former Vacants have held every title in the history of wrestling, CGW's Vacant admits he's never seen any of the previous Vacants' matches. However, their accolades speak for themselves. Mystery Man is adopting his black suit in a similar way, but more to right the wrongs of the great Mystery Men of the past. These are the men who have been announced for many main events and open challenges, but have always been replaced at the last minute by bigger stars. Their delusions make them many crossed wires, as Mystery Man often believes he's booked for the main events and open challenges and shows up uninvited to be told he's not actually booked. Similarly, Vacant often thinks he's won a title when titles are vacated. This also causes friction between the two, as Mystery Man believes Vacant is constantly embarking on a singles career due to his recent title wins. These delusions will eventually cause the team's downfall, as the tag titles are vacated and Mystery Man thinks Vacant has found a new partner, also named Vacant. And so there's an issue slightly with this, in that we have already signed Vacant to the Crap Gimmick Wrestling roster. However, we have not signed Mystery Man.
Yeah, although I like the visual of a guy in a morph suit and a guy in a morph suit with a question mark, I think that's a great way to differentiate the tag team when they're wrestling. And the motivations and stuff, Vacant always thinking he's won a title when it's declared vacant.
And he's carrying on the legacy of other great Vacants.
That's really good. Yeah. And the move sets are great, the finishers.
I also like Mystery Man standing in for...
Yeah. But I like when you were reading that, of course we've already got a Vacant. But I don't think Mystery Man and Vacant are they're too similar. I would much prefer all of Mystery Man's stuff be put into Vacant, so he's turning up for the things thinking he's booked, and like the stand-in finisher is actually just a setup move.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually you would do the cliffhanger and then into the stand-in.
There you go.
As the setup. But that's really great. It's almost like I want to add that to our existing Vacants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I'm in agreement with you. I was thinking when I was taking this one on board of almost just signing Mystery Man and then putting them together as a tag team. But I do think you're right. They're kind of like, they are almost better separate, or taking what we like about Mystery Man and putting it into our existing Vacant we currently have.
I just think it would be confusing.
Mm.
And I like, if you've got all those good ideas, just put it into one guy to make one super crap guy.
Although I do like the promos that Mystery Man can cut when there is a tournament and only two people have been announced for it and there's another six people. He's like, well, I'm in the tournament six times over.
Vacant to do that.
You can, yeah, absolutely. You can just get Vacant to do it instead, yeah. This one comes in from Donovan Collins. Both of these were sent in on July 16th. The poet, Old English. His comment is a classic costume from Shakespeare. I'm guessing you mean Shakespearean times. He comes to the ring quoting Shakespeare before every match, speaking in oldie English. Before his finisher, he yells, "To be or not to be? That is the question." If the fans yell, "To be," he hits his finisher, double knee to the back while riding the opponent to the ground that he calls Othello. If they are not to be, then it is a sleeper hold that he calls Juliet. Since he would be a face, he often goes up to fans and see if they can quote Shakespeare, and if they can, he gives them that ruffled neck scarf thing that's to show they are true fans.
A ruff. It's called a ruff.
So, a little bit like Bret Hart with his sunglasses, but it's with a ruff instead. A Shakespearean gimmick.
Oh, that's definitely a heel. Why has he said it's a baby face? You're going up to fans and seeing if they can quote Shakespeare.
Like Bob Backlund.
And then you don't give them the thing if they can't do it.
Well, yeah, also, but I can kind of see, because it's audience participation, isn't it, with the to be or not to be. In terms of who he's facing.
And he's going to come off like a smug, elitist guy, even if that isn't the intention. I think that's a heel.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a Big Willy. Big Willy style.
Big Willy style. Oh, man, that's a gimmick right there. It's a Shakespearean character, but with Will Smith's Willennium attitude.
Yes. Yeah.
Big Willy style.
And he raps in Shakespearean verse very badly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you trying to say that Will Smith's a bad rapper?
No, I'm just saying he's a heel.
No,
no, I'm not.
My wife said that the other day. We were listening. Yeah, what?
What?
Classic Will Smith moves. What?
When me and Luke used to do a movie podcast, we would make this joke about Will Smith's rapping style of him just...
I
haven't written enough lyrics for this song. Or, in the instrumental part, I'm just going to go,
what? Yeah. It does feel like he can't have an instrumental moment, so he just has to go in with a, yeah, what?
Yeah, so I went through his entire music videography and spliced together every time he makes a noise like that.
That's still online, that's still on YouTube.
Is it? Okay, you can go and find it.
You posted it on YouTube, didn't you?
Was it on Flickering Myths one?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, go and have a... I thought, you know when you have an idea, like, this is going to be picked up by BuzzFeed, it's going to go crazy. All the ums and ahs ever in Will's... A thousand views.
Yeah, it's indeed great. This from Gerard Gruber, sent in on July 17th. El Sumo Lucha is a luchador that is built like a sumo wrestler. Imagine, if you will, Yokozuna with colorful tights and a mask. El Sumo Lucha is not very agile. Despite this, he still tries to do traditional lucha things, such as springboard dives and high spots. For example, when his opponent is grounded, he will go for a springboard dive, but instead of hitting the dive, he will slip off the ropes, stagger backwards until he trips and falls on top of his opponent. When he's going for a high flying move from the turnbuckle and his opponent's halfway across the ring, he will just land in front of the turnbuckle and then fall, and then the force of his crash to the mat will pop his opponent into the air and they land right next to him, where he can put his arm over for them for the cover. Finally, he attempts to do a 619 but cannot fit through the rope like Rey Mysterio, so he just stops at the ropes and smacks the wrestler in the face to send them back into the ring. So,
but he would try.
Yes,
he would try to get through the ropes.
The key is that he's always trying. Now, as you and I know, there is already a gimmick like this that is similar. Los Federales Super Santos Jr. of the Anti-Fun Police in Progress Wrestling with No Fun Done.
Oh, yeah.
So he is a larger man that does lucha.
But he pulls it off. He's very good.
He's awesome, in
he's
fact.
Great
he's
great to watch.
So good. So this is like a rubbish version of Los Federales Super Santos.
I like it. I'm worried there will be an online backlash from the potential body-shaming critiques. But if anything, this is an empowering gimmick.
Yeah.
Because he keeps trying. And he would be a babyface in my eyes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Definitely.
And everyone would be like, oh, when he goes to do the big moves, yeah.
And, you know, I don't want... I think, you know, there's a rich tradition of fat bastard-style slapstick comedy from Austin Powers. So, like... I'd imagine that would be the. Would he be in a fat suit? Would that make it better?
Oh no, because then
it's
that,
like things
that, was,
that
yeah.
things that were funny a decade ago, which me and Luke may or may not still find funny.
Like Fat Bastard from
like
Austin
fat
Powers.
Fat Bastard from Austin Powers isn't acceptable if you were to do it today.
Mm.
Although it is acceptable to watch it from 18 years ago and still find it funny.
Yes,
but not acceptable if it was made today.
No,
it's a very important distinction. I can't explain why that is.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because if Austin Powers had made that joke that's at the end of Kingsman, like, back in 1999, everyone would be like, that's a really, really funny ending to that film because it's a parody of James Bond movies. But when they did it in Kingsman, it was not seen as a funny line because a lot of people took massive offence to it.
What? That would be way too crude for Austin Powers.
But insinuating... Which really isn't too dissimilar to what Austin Powers did throughout the whole film anyway.
This is a bigger topic. God, we're talking about some hot button that body shaming.
Body shaming. Will Smith's rap career.
I really like this though.
Yeah.
I think the visual of going up to do a 619 and then can't do it. And then, of course, it would build up to one day where he does do it. I don't know, maybe you gimmick the ropes slightly so they're wider apart. Because he shouldn't get thinner.
Like, no.
This should be a fat suit that should stay there.
I think the only thing I would change is the dive, and that makes everyone sort of bounce up in the air. Like, that I would take out because I think that doesn't really work for me. But things
I do like the visual of the face plant, though.
No, I think you should totally go up to the rope and then just not make the move.
But then that's just a double down.
Yeah, it's just...
And the whole crowd are like, oh, and stand in applause.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how I would do it. So your choices are, or rather our choices are, ooh, we've got Vacant and Mystery Man, the Poet's Old English, and El Sumo Lucha.
So the Vacant stuff is already in there, and, you know, I think it should be one character. The Shakespeare guy is good, but
We came up with a better gimmick.
It doesn't grab me as much as El Sumo Lucha. I think that's really funny.
El Sumo Lucha it is. And if you want to send in a mailbag question, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount, and then you can leave a comment in our community section, which is full of other awesome pledge hammers. And remember, as we revealed yesterday in the NXT review Wrestle Ramble, if you're one of our $25 and above backers, you can head over to head over to our messages or message us on Patreon, and then we can give you a code to claim a free case of beer. Free. And, you know, there's other descriptions in there.
Because usually you have to pay for that free case of beer, 52 beer. You have to pay
for the postage.
Yeah, pay for the postage. But this is postage free. It's, you know,
it's just
what a Patreon perk that is.
100% free. And before we go on, we're slightly late on this because studio moves and other things have sort of happened and kind of made us sort of fall behind on things. But one of our longest running pledge hammers, the villainess Courtney Summers, she turned 30 on October 5th. So congratulations. Welcome to the 30 Club and a happy birthday to you.
Well done for doing another year.
Oh, it's
always a success. I did see that, she tweeted out that Cultaholic made her a little
bit. Did a much better video than we did.
And I kind of felt like you were cheating on us, Courtney.
Well, I mean, you felt that way. I felt we'd just done her wrong and we didn't try hard enough.
I think that explains the difference between you and me.
So we're diving into the mailbag now.
Just one thing about moving studios and stuff. We might be getting a new set real soon.
Yeah, for all those people who's like, the new set looks rubbish.
It does look rubbish.
It's a temporary thing.
It's just some soundboards.
Yeah, literally, it's just the soundboard.
It's just the wall behind that.
Yeah.
It's worse if it's just the wall.
Yeah, it's a temporary measure.
Yeah, but we're getting someone in later today to have a look if they can build the stuff we want them to build.
We've got a really grand plan for what we want to do.
Build it up too much.
Well, I think it's a pretty grand plan. Considering what it was previously, which was just us sitting on folding chairs in front of T-shirts that were not even pins to a wall. They were put up there with gaffer tape.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be better than the T-shirt gaffer tape.
Yes.
But don't hold me to that.
So it's grander than that. So here we have from Marcel Jura, who has emailed in to say, "Hi, Luke / Ollie / Laurie. I really enjoyed Sabu as a worker and his gimmick, but one thing always bothered me. That suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, death-defying catchphrase. See, I get the suicidal and death-defying part since he is a daredevil and the homicidal part because he's nuts and a badass, but what bothers me is the homicidal part. That bit always rubs me the wrong way because there is nothing cool or badass."
The genocidal part.
Well, no, he's written here, "What bothers me is the homicidal part."
Okay.
But I think, and then he's clarifies genocide later, so I think he probably meant genocide.
Okay, because he already said he likes the homicide.
Yes, yeah. But no, I'm reading the email verbatim.
Right, sorry.
Yes. That bit always rubs me the wrong way because there is nothing cool or badass with genocide, so I think he did mean genocide. When I hear genocide, I hear Holocaust, and that is nothing I want to cheer. My question to you guys is, how are you feeling with it? Because it might just be a cultural thing since I'm from Germany, and you know, we have a bit of history when it comes to that kind of stuff. I hope I don't kill the mood. Don't worry, you haven't. Support WrestleTalk, love you, and goodbye. I think the mood was already killed on this
episode.
Yeah,
of all the... just what else do you want to talk about? Talking about the Holocaust and genocide
now. I mean,
now.
I didn't talk about how my wife didn't like Will Smith's rap career.
This is a light-hearted Saturday wrestling talk show.
Yeah, I know, right? So, what are your thoughts on Sabu's moniker?
I guess I've never really thought about it, but... when you
homicidal,
suicidal, he's like throwing himself everywhere. Homicidal, yeah, he's throwing stuff at people. Genocidal, like it just fits because the rule of three, it sounds like, you know, the other things works, but then when you take it as an isolated word and you're like, that means wiping out an entire race of people. Yeah, that is a bit weird.
Well, in all fairness, homicidal is not that much cooler because homicide refers to, like, oh, he kills people.
But that's like, I mean, that's ECW, right? You're throwing stuff at the flaming tables.
Yeah.
I think that's like, you know, it that kind of fits. But genocidal is, you know, so that's a logistical effort.
Yes.
To wipe out a race of people.
I tend to border the, not argument or defense, but say that ECW was a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much in that late 90s shock, not the system, but, you know, just shock TV. That's what ECW's bread and butter was. They were essentially, they took everything that was the people loved about Jerry Springer, too hot for TV, and put wrestling matches around it. And, like, it was of its time. They didn't really have women's wrestling. Women were in ECW to either be called a slut or to, you know, take their clothes off and have a catfight.
Or to kiss other women.
Or to kiss other women, exactly. So it was very much just an of-its-time thing. But because it, you know, it's kind of stuck with him, it's just stuck around forever, I guess. Like a lot of ECW gimmicks have.
Yeah.
It's a product of its time. Like Austin Powers.
Yeah, I think you might be right, though, Michael. Or Marcel. That it's interesting how different cultures here like have different charges attached to words, and of course where you're from, because I've been to Berlin a few times, and it is just memorials for, like, it's just the whole city is permanently saying we're so sorry. So with all the memorials, yeah.
Have you ever seen the Twilight Zone episode Death's Head Revisited?
No.
Very, very good. I highly recommend it. I mean, I highly recommend The Twilight Zone anyway. But it is about a German SS officer revisiting a concentration camp and being haunted. I think it's actually Auschwitz, and being haunted and put on trial by the people that he...
But like the ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It is. I mean, it's not a fun episode, but
this
it's...
This last email better be really happy, Luke.
You'll be happy to know it is.
Okay, good.
It's from that guy who wants to support. Hello, that one. Hello, the other one. And hello, the fake one. How do you think NXT UK will affect the indie UK scene? Do you think the characters will be consistent in NXT and the indies? And will the storylines from NXT continue in the indies? And will WWE... we'll let, for example, Progress Championships to be defended on NXT. Keep being the great ones together. Sending a lot of love and support all the way from Israel. That's from the guy who wants to support.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, WWE titles have been defended at indie shows, notably Evolve. Has one been defended in Progress?
I don't know. It's every chance that it has, but
yeah,
I don't
know. I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Dunne's belt has.
Yeah.
But yeah, having another promotion's belt defended within a WWE brand, I think there's too many belts anyway. Tag belt, UK belt, and women's belt for the UK brand. But maybe, like, I could definitely see a Progress Champion versus...
UK champion
match, especially if, like, the rumors of Volta going to WWE. Like having an agreement with WWE to work for their European stuff and the takeover shows, then you could have like that Pete Dunne Volta match, Progress champion versus NXT UK. God, that's mouthwatering.
That is very, very nice to hear, yeah. Because I'd imagine it probably will be retimed, because at the moment it's the WWE United Kingdom champion. But I'd imagine it'll probably be rebranded to the NXT UK champion.
Because they've got an identity crisis. It's just Triple H going, I don't... Don't listen to the old man.
Do you think NXT UK will affect the indie scene?
It already has.
I mean, yeah, it already has, really. Because there are a lot of guys that were doing the independent stuff that have signed sort of exclusive deals with NXT UK. So, in effect, it sort of already has.
Do you remember when... So this was 2016, December 14th, I think. Oh, 2016. Maybe it wasn't. It was around that time when William Regal announced the UK brand. Just, you know, because we've been working on it for ages. We just so happened to announce it now, a week after the WOS stuff that was announced.
Yeah, just coincidence, mate.
These things happen. Sometimes two Peter Pan films come out within months of each other.
And it's just so happened that the WOS wrestling show was about to start on ITV that they just so happened to announce that they are also going to be launching a TV brand. Just happened months later because they couldn't get a TV deal. Mm. So did you hear the story on the TV deal?
I hadn't finished my point.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Sorry. So at this announcement, William Regal says that all the boys that have signed with us will be able to work anywhere. And then a day later, it was modified to anywhere that, you know, like we think where they can be nurtured, mm-hmm. and that they can work with places where they're used in a really good storyline. Like, what? And then, like, over the weeks, it was like, no, you just work with who we want you to work with.
Who we have deals with, yeah.
And it was just a way to take those UK guys, stop them from working WOS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much. Yeah. I was in the Observer today. It was, yesterday, I should say, because we recorded this on Friday. The story is that WWE were looking to get NXT UK onto Sky.
Mm.
And Sky said no, because they feel a bit slighted by WWE, because they signed this brand new deal with Sky. And part of Sky's whole deal with WWE was they got pay-per-view revenue, whereas that's where the money really is. You pay for that, but you get a share of the pay-per-view revenue. And then a week later, WWE announced the network, where all the pay-per-views are going to be on there for $10 a month, and you don't actually have to buy them on pay-per-view anymore. And Sky were like, ooh, well, I mean, that's where all of our money's going to be made. And now their ratings have massively declined on Sky Sports, whichever one it's on. I think it's probably on Arena or something. And that contract ends in late 2019. So there are sort of speculation that it might not end up re-signing, and WWE will leave Sky for the first time in, what, like 20 plus years.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to think. And I forgot what I was going to say about Sky Sports and WWE.
So further on from that, when WWE couldn't get a deal with Sky Sports, they went to BT Sports and asked for them, and then Sky were like, well, no, they can't have it either, because you've got a deal with us.
Mm.
And that's why NXT UK has been in this sort of like limbo status, because they taped in July, and it's just been sat there on the shelf. Apparently they've recorded 18 weeks worth of episodes, and they've just been sat there doing nothing. And they were meant to do an NXT UK women's match at Evolution, which has since been not mentioned ever since. And I don't know whether that's going to take place now, because the match itself, where they crown a champion, will have to air before that show. And then you'll have to announce something to set up that, but you can't announce anything too much that will affect the 18 weeks of TV you've already taped. So they're in this sort of massive quandary at the moment. They were just saying limbo, and then they were just like, and it's going on the network.
Yeah. I just remember my point, that that's why the network was delayed for so long in the UK, because
right.
of that butting heads between Sky Sports and WWE. I think I'm a real big fan of what the NFL do, where they put the Super Bowl on BBC every year. BBC, to my knowledge, doesn't pay a penny
mm-hmm.
for that, because the NFL are like, well, this is great advertising. This is the most amount of people are going to see it. We're going to give it to you for free. Boom. So it seems counterintuitive, but like, give the pay-per-views, but give like something to a major UK broadcaster for free,
mm-hmm.
and you massively increase your exposure.
Yep,
and yeah, that's what I would do.
And
but yeah, the actual question.
I think we've answered. Like, I think it does. It's already affected the indie UK scene. Although now, like, you know, Rev Pro, their TV show starts tonight on Free Sports.
So Friday.
So yesterday. And there were some guys there that have been like that are very heavily pushed on that show that were rumored to be among that list of NXT UK stars that were going to be part of that brand that are now not, because they decided to stick with Rev Pro and other independents instead, as opposed to sign for WWE. Chris Brooks was one of those names. He was rumored to be going over, but he's
your boy,
my boy Chris Brooks. He's one of the best. He's so tall and so handsome, but he's also very gross. So yeah, I think that it kind of already has affected the indies, and I don't think that NXT UK stuff will bleed too much into like progress storylines, or because it hasn't since, it hasn't really since the, you know, since Pete Dunne and since the UK Championships, or way back when. So I don't know if it really will do. But I suppose we won't really know until we're out of this 18 weeks worth of TV that they've taped, and they are going to do it as a weekly show. I'll be so interested to see if, once those 18 weeks are up, whether they still commit to it being a weekly show.
That'd be interesting.
Because that means they're going to have to tape a lot. You know, to do the NXT sort of schedule that they do. But whether or not they are going to keep up with that. Because we've had, you know, yesterday we had a lot of people saying to us, I say a lot of people, we had quite a few people saying, are you going to review NXT UK? Are you going to review NXT UK? My guess is in 2 weeks' time, no one's going to be asking.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah. So before we do the Agony Arch request, do you want to tell us your story about the bicycle?
I would love to. So I, at the new office, is a 45 to hour long public transport journey.
Yeah, sounds awful.
The 50, I know you've got a lot, but it's just, I always drove to work before, but now, you know, I'm on public transport and it's great for reading books and listening to podcasts, but it's just too inconsistent in terms of time. Is it going to take 40 minutes or is it going to take an hour? Is there such a spread there?
I've never known someone to be so like conscious about how long places take to get to. Like, it's really like when we were like looking at various different studios for us to move to, that was like one of your big things. You had like almost a spreadsheet of like how long it takes for various different people to get to.
Because I was very conscious that you were doing an awful hour 50 each way journey.
It did take me 4 hours there and back.
Yeah, so work. I was trying to make it the best possible route for everyone.
Yeah, and like this one takes me, you know, an hour, sometimes hour 15, but that's fine. Like, it's all right. Like, it takes an hour.
For you, it used to take me half an hour to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I find out that it's a 25-minute bike ride, a lovely bike ride, through the wetlands, down the Hackney Canal. This is lovely.
Sounds delightful.
Okay, so let's do that. I rented a bike yesterday. Guess what riding a bike is like?
What's it like?
Riding a bike. Because I got on it and I stumbled a bit, then I was away.
Well, of course it is, because you never forget how to ride a bike.
It was quite remarkable, but I haven't ridden a bike since I was 12, 13.
Wow.
Maybe a few centre boxes.
Oh, man.
That's about it.
I used to cycle to work all the time when I was a teenager.
Not this guy. Oh, I had like, I got a, maybe there were a few weeks when I was 24 or something, I got a bike on the ride to work scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not stick because it was rainy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I get the bike, I'm excited, lock it up, and it's time to go home. It was the 10-minute news that took forever, so it was a late going home, and it was dark. It was dark outside, and
did you have lights?
Well, I didn't really think about this.
Oh no, you're supposed to have lights when it's dark.
So I had lights, little flashy lights, so
on your
people
bike.
Could see me.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, yeah, that's all right then.
Yeah, but what everybody else had was like a torch light on the front. I did not have that.
Ah,
I could not see where I was going, and I was riding old habits on a canal side with I was like, this is like really hairy, this is genuinely hairy, and I'm scared. I'm pretty sure I just saw a face in a bush because my eyes were so wide, and I got this never happens to me. I got supernatural scared, like someone from The Ring was gonna jump. Not just like a more rational fear of a drug dealer or a homeless person attacking me.
Or falling into the canal.
Or falling into the canal. It was specifically Sister Abigail coming at me from a bush and killing me or like taking me in into a cult.
Real world Sister Abigail or Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail?
Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail.
That's even scarier.
So yeah, it was just that. It was really scary. And then I didn't realize, oh, but at least I had the light from the other side of the canal, because then I take a right and I'm in the marshes, the wetlands,
mm-hmm.
and that is no light. And it's like trees as well, so there's no moonlight. It was
pitch
it
black.
Was pitch, you know, I could see the very, very faint outlines of things.
Oh, mate.
And I must have gone over a bump, and I have a little basket at the front of
yep,
the bike.
Of course.
And this threw the D-lock that I'd also rented up into my face. I come off the bike, but like, you know, in a measured way. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? What was that? Torch on the phone. There's the D-lock.
Oh, I don't mean to laugh, but that is quite funny.
And I finally get home. I was so highly strung and just like, oh, that was awful. I need a torch so bad. I lost the key for the D-lock.
Oh, no.
So now the bike is living in our front room and I can't take it anywhere. Great. Got to buy a D-lock over the weekend.
Oh, mate.
And then cycle in only daylight.
Oh.
Like a reverse vampire.
Wow.
I thought I'd share that, though.
Well, I'm glad you did. Mm. What a terrible... I didn't mean to laugh as much as I did.
Oh, it's funny. It's a funny story.
Would you like this Agony Arts request?
Of course.
So, of course, this is from a vacant emailer in.
Who is already signed to the crap gimmick roster.
Yep, of course, yeah. I didn't realise you could send job-related Agony Arts. I've got something to tell.
For everything.
It's been bothering me for a long time, and maybe sharing helps. Also, the situation changed today, so it's very current again. I will try and keep it short. Spoiler, they do not. I'm currently working for my second company. I trained for my job in an office at my first company and worked there for almost 5 years. In the last 1.5 years, they were awful. A lot of stress, so much I suffered tinnitus, which is a sign of an approaching burnout. Thankfully, I was able to get rid of this with something called autogenic training. I think that's autogenic training. Shortly after being healthy again, 90% of the employees were released due to the biggest, our only client dropping out of the deal. Then I got into a company which looked differently than my former employer. They are operating a completely different business, but they also need people for their office. Nice boss, good schedule, everything seemed fine. That was June 2017. Now in October 2018, I lost a lot of my peers because they quit the company on their own terms. We were forced to work overtime. Customers were extremely angry at us, and we've been doing for months, and nothing changes. The irony's always, guess you gotta work longer. I know that I'm good at my job, and I like doing what I do, but I start questioning myself as I'm not able to work to my full potential anymore. The remaining peers and myself, we're all dragging ourselves to work every time in fear of the stress that's coming. We were always promised it's going to get better, but it never does. So I started looking for a new job. I hate that, though. I fear job interviews, and I fear the moment I have to ask for my release. And today, some... Oh, I don't know the way this is phrased. And today, some bird, I haven't told anyone, told... Oh, I think he means like a little bird.
A little bird told me.
Yeah, as opposed to, oh, the bird over here. and today, some little bird, and I haven't sold anyone, told my boss that I was setting myself up, as many did before, for my departure. They asked me and expressed fear in me leaving. I am helpful and a very nice person, and it would be such a shame to see me leaving. I currently do not know where to put this. All I know is that I left that room feeling not much hate for my supervisor, but I learned that they were heavily arguing with each other afterwards. I was honest with them, but they assured me everything would be better. At the same time, I'm currently waiting for a reply to a pretty well paid job for the town hall. That would be something I would really love to do. I want to learn more, do further trainings, and climb up the career ladder just a little bit so I'm able to afford a family once. The new job would offer all of that. The last thing my boss said as I left the room was pleading as he said, please promise not to leave. I felt backed into a corner. What can I do? All I want is for some fair money and be happy with my job. I'm currently 24 and I feel that time is ticking before I hit 30 without further training and almost useless for new companies in my area. What can I do? Side info, a further training on my own would cost me up to 30,000 quid. Doing it after work, coming home after midnight or something. Ooh, so that is from Vacant.
Lot to dive into there. It's kind of difficult to... lot of options.
Yeah, I guess the short version of it is, the TLDR version, mm-hmm. is that they are in a job that they're not particularly happy in. They are looking for other options, but now their boss is pressuring them into staying.
They've got no control over you.
Well, that's it. My advice would be, you owe them nothing. you owe this job absolutely nothing, and it's if you leave and you explain to them why you leave, then that's on them, really. Like, clearly, if a loads of people are departing, that means that the job is getting awful, and the company needs to be aware of that, or the people in your higher upper positions need to be aware of that.
Yeah, it seems like that sort of personality trait where you don't want... You want everyone to like you. You don't want to really ruffle any feathers. Unfortunately, in this game, especially when it comes to jobs and trying to get a better lot for yourself, you're going to have to confront that at some point. And you're actually in a very good position. You don't want this job anymore. And you might have nicer jobs elsewhere, like this town hall job. So you could take the town hall job and it's all fine. Or you can go back into your current employer if you're only in it for the money, which I advise against, really. I think you should probably do something that satisfies both financial concerns and makes you happy. But you can go into your current employer and just say, well, I'm leaving. I've got this other job offer. If you want me to stay that bad. I mean, they have played an awful negotiating hand.
Really,
saying, do not leave. We need you so much. Well, if you need me that much, I want to work from home on Friday, Thursday. I want, you know, these jobs to be taken off me. I want my job to be engineered in this direction, which I enjoy more. I want all of this in writing, and I want to get paid more.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with that. But before we get out of here, let's have a quick WrestleTalk Get Better. Hi, Luke, Ollie and Laurie. I've been listening in the shadows for a while when it comes to WrestleTalk Get Better and wondered if I should do it myself. So I decided to go for it and see how it went. I started in April, and after leaving a particularly stressful job, I had decided to put myself on a diet and running regime. When I started, I was 16 stone and 10 pounds. But after months of running, dieting and weight, I am finally comfortable to say I am now 13 stone and 4 pounds.
Oh, congratulations.
I have attached a picture to show you my progress. Now the next step of getting better is to get toned. Keep up the great podcast. Please don't judge me, Ollie. Love from Mets. and that is our boy.
I'm judging you. You passed.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Fantastic. Congratulations work to you. Nice little bit from Google Mail. The options for replying to
I
that
love this.
Email. Congratulations. Love it. Or, I'm so proud of you.
All three.
Yeah, I think
press
that's
the
all three
button.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday for the Raw review. What's going to happen on Raw? Do you notice the Raw don't really plug as much what's going to happen on the show compared to SmackDown?
It's because they're afraid controversy will surround anything they announce.
But
just
I guess
live week to week.
I guess we'll get the fallout of Drew McIntyre and attacking Braun Strowman. Although I wonder if that'll ever... they'll just be back together again.
Oh, I'm worried. You put the fear of God in me now.
Well, as many have pointed out, they're doing the UK house show loop as it's the six-man main event. That's what they're advertising. So maybe we'll get that six-man main event again. Anyway, we'll find out. Have a good weekend, everyone. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.